News from the center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The sentence for the convicted killer of Laken Riley, Judge Patrick Haggard imposing the maximum where he could.
Count one, malice murder. I sentence you to life without the possibility of parole.
Jose Ibarra found guilty in all 10 counts in the murder of Riley. Susan Smith, who was convicted of murdering her two boys, rolling her car into a South Carolina lake 30 years ago, denied parole today. A huge so-called bomb cyclone storm pushing a large amount of moisture from the Pacific into the Pacific Northwest, being blamed for at least two deaths. The U.S. pausing operations at the embassy in Kyiv, warning of a significant aerial attack following the Biden administration's authorizing Ukraine to fire U.S. long-range missiles into Russian territory. And today, Biden agreeing to supply Ukraine with anti-personnel mines. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu visited Gaza today, where he said, whoever dares to harm our hostages, blood on his head. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM, I'm Joanne Krulatz. President-elect Donald Trump says he wants Sean Duffy to be his transportation secretary. That would position Duffy to oversee a complex system of pipelines, railroads, cars, trucks, airlines, and mass transit systems, as well as funding for highways. Duffy is a former member of Congress who represented a Wisconsin district for 9 years. He is the second Fox-affiliated TV host to be tapped by Trump. Duffy also has a background in reality TV. Like Trump, he declined to run for governor of Wisconsin in 2020, despite Trump's urging, and is a former lumberjack athlete. Judicial regulators have filed a 10-count complaint against a former Wisconsin Supreme Court justice who led an investigation into the 2020 presidential election results. The State Office of Lawyer Regulation filed the complaint against former Justice Michael Gableman Tuesday. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss hired Gableman in June 2021 to investigate the administration of the 2020 election. Voss fired him in August 2022 after the probe turned up nothing. The complaint accuses Gableman of violating a number of state Supreme Court rules during the investigation, including making false statements, disrupting a court hearing, questioning a judge's integrity, making derogatory remarks about opposing attorneys, and violating open records laws. WPS Health Solutions in Dane County is laying off hundreds of people. 313 people will lose their jobs, mostly at the Monona office. Executives say the layoffs are necessary after losing federal contracts. WPS provides supplemental insurance for people in Wisconsin and has contracts with Medicare in 9 other states. The layoffs officially begin January 21st. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
It's the Bucks and the Bulls. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks host the Chicago Bulls tonight in Milwaukee. Both teams below 500 and looking for back-to-back wins. College basketball, number 15th ranked Marquette playing great defense. Knocked off number 6 ranked Purdue last night, 76-58. Cam Jones with a triple-double for the Golden Eagles. Finished with 17 points, 13 rebounds, and 10 assists. Baseball, Pat Murphy, the first Brewer ever to be named Manager of the Year in the National League. Murphy turns 66 later this month. NFL, the Packers host the 49ers Sunday. I asked Green Bay defensive end Rashawn Gary why the team doesn't have more quarterback sacks.
I don't know. You got to tell me if you're watching. We just rushing, doing what we got to do. You know, the numbers going to come. Numbers, people get, you know, misconstrued. You know, cut on the tape. See how we playing. See how we setting the edges. See how we putting pressure on quarterbacks, man. The numbers going to come if we keep playing our fashion of ball. It really don't matter, man. I love me against anyone.
That's the Packers' Rashawn Gary. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Increasing clouds today, breezy and cold with scattered snow showers developing, highs only in the upper 30s. For tonight, scattered snow showers to continue mainly early, remaining blustery with low temperatures in the mid-20s. It's 35 at our studios.
Matt Nair on air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome from the Overture Center in Madison, Tim Sowers, who talks about upcoming shows. And Wisconsin-based filmmaker Jared Crooks joins me. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Good afternoon, Wisconsin. My name is Dan Schaefer. I am your guest host this afternoon on the Maggie Dawn Show. Thank you so much for joining us across Wisconsin, across the Civic Media Network on this fine Wednesday afternoon. We've got a great show for you planned today, but for those of you who might not be familiar with me, again, my name is Dan Schaefer. I am the political editor of Civic Media. I am also the founder of the online weekly opinion column and online publication called The Recombobulation Area. Yes, The Recombobulation Area gets its name from the famous post-security area at the Milwaukee airport. And, you know, we have such a discombobulating news cycle here in the state of Wisconsin. We all need a place to recombobulate, so we can do that at the Recombobulation Area, and which is now part of the Civic Media Network. I actually just published a piece today at the Recombobulation Area. You can go check that one out. It is on Ben Wickler, the state party chair, state Democratic Party chair in Wisconsin, whose name has been in the mix for potential national role with the Democratic National Committee. I do check that one out. We're going to be talking about that one later in the show as well. NBC News national reporter Natasha Kurecki is going to be joining us at about 2:30 this afternoon. She has been doing some reporting at the national level about this race for the DNC chair. This is going to be one of the first big decisions that Democrats will be making as they pick up the pieces after the election and get ready for a second Trump term. Yep, we're going forward with it. So take a look at that one. I think that's going to be, a really interesting battle over the next few months. We've seen a number of candidates kind of jump in to this, to the race for the DNC chair. And again, Wickler has not made any announcements just yet, but he confirmed to the Recombobulation Area, a source close to Wickler has confirmed to the Recombobulation Area that he is seriously considering the role. This could be a one pretty big domino to fall in Wisconsin politics if Wickler were to make a run for this role, if he were to end up as the chair of the DNC. This is going to be an important fight going forward for Democrats to figure out, what exactly the pushback to Trump 2.0 will be in 2025 and beyond. Also today and on the show, we are going to be joined by my good friend Eric Naim, who's the beat reporter for the Milwaukee Bucks. I, as you might know, am a huge, huge Milwaukee Bucks fan. Anybody who follows me on the platform formerly known as Twitter knows that I am a huge, huge Bucks fan, and I'm probably one of the only people on Twitter who would ever get a stick to politics tweet, because some people will follow me for, you know, being the political editor of Civic Media or for my work at the Recombobulation Area. And sometimes in them all of a sudden out of nowhere, for people who might not know that I'm a huge Bucks fan, I'll start live tweeting a Bucks game and people will be like, hey, what's this? Where did this come from? Yep, I'm a huge Bucks fan. So that's where that all comes from. So we'll be talking to Eric at the top of the 3 o'clock hour later in the show as well. And then later in that 3 o'clock hour, we're also going to be joined by my friend John D. Johnson, a researcher at Marquette University. He has done a tremendous amount of work mapping, the results of the presidential election, the results of the race for U.S. Senate. And he's also done a little bit of a deep dive on the results in the Wisconsin state legislature. And with this being, the first election happening under new maps, we paid so much attention over the last couple of weeks to the results at the top of the ticket. And the results for U.S. Senate, which finally Eric Hovde conceded on Monday. But there's still much to learn from what happened down ballot, especially in this very unique election that Wisconsin just had with new maps, here in 2024. Typically that comes at the end of the after the census, after every 10 years. But because those maps were struck down as unconstitutional by the Wisconsin Supreme Court, then those new maps being in place for the first time for this election, led to some pretty significant Democratic gains, particularly in the state Senate, where there were five races that Democrats were viewed as competitive races, and Democrats won all five. So that is a pretty important development there. And we're going to be taking a look at just kind of how these elections looked on the new maps, how they might have looked on old maps. So much to discuss with Mr. John D. Johnson there as well. We're also going to be taking your calls throughout the show, where you can find us at 855-752-4842 to call and text, leave a comment on the live stream. And I think, I've been promoting the show today. We just got a comment on the live stream that somebody's coming from Blue Sky. I started tweeting, I'm still calling it tweeting. It's going to take a while, but that there's been some a little bit more activity coming from Blue Sky. So shout out to our listener and streamer here making their way over from Blue Sky as well. Once again, my name is Dan Schaefer. I am filling in for Maggie Dawn this afternoon. I am the founder of the Recombobulation Area, a weekly opinion column and online publication covering news and politics in Milwaukee and Wisconsin. And the Recombobulation Area is now a part of the Civic Media Network. And I am now part of Civic Media as its political editor. So very excited to be here with you. I think this is it's been a very busy couple months since I started this role. Actually, my first day in this role was the first day of the DNC in Chicago. So what a time, to be jumping into a role like this. But I've guest hosted these a few different shows on a number of occasions, and it has been a little while since I've done that. So do bear with me if I get at all discombobulated today. But we've got a great show for you. We're going to recombobulate, whether it's me getting discombobulated on the show, our very discombobulating news cycle. We're going to put everything back together. We're going to get our shoes back on, get our bags together, and make our way to our destination once we've got all of that figured out today. So before we get into the portion of the show with our guests, we're going to be talking about just a few of the headlines that have been going on in and around Wisconsin in the news this week, today. Always so much happening in our discombobulating state. So one of the big news items from today that has come through and hit my inbox earlier this afternoon was that the Wisconsin Democratic Party of Wisconsin has voted to endorse Susan Crawford for Wisconsin Supreme Court. So, you know, just in case you were missing the campaign world in Wisconsin for, you know, a whole 2 weeks of a not campaign cycle, we are right back at it here in the state, because the race for Wisconsin Supreme Court is just a few months away. This is going to be a tremendously important race to essentially determine the balance of power in the state. There is currently a 4-3 liberal majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. You know, that was, of course, a hard fought victory for those on the left, for Democrats in Wisconsin, winning a number of races and in particular flipping the seat that was open in 2023 when Janet Protasiewicz won a decisive victory over conservative candidate Daniel Kelly. And so for the past couple of years, that has led to, you know, some really important rulings, especially on redistricting. Like I mentioned earlier in the show about those new maps we'll be talking about with John Johnson. But, you know, that every election matters. And because this will be back on the ballot in the state of Wisconsin, that essentially the balance of power will be on the ballot in the state of Wisconsin. That election is happening in April. There is a February primary, but you know, I think there is only one left-leaning candidate who has announced in this, and that is Judge Susan Crawford. So the Democratic Party of Wisconsin endorsed her today. I'll read part of the statement from Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chair Ben Wickler. He said, "Now more than ever, our democracy needs ardent defenders who will stand up for the rule of law and protect our constitutional rights from extreme special interests who seek to politicize our Constitution and undermine our freedoms. Judge Susan Crawford has proven through a career of service to Wisconsin as an attorney, prosecutor, and circuit court judge that she will always protect Wisconsinites' core freedoms." So, you know, Brad Schimmel is the Republican, essentially the Republican-backed candidate in this. He's the former Republican attorney general. He's currently a judge in Waukesha County. Remains to be seen if there will be, you know, another right-leaning candidate jump into this race. But I would certainly expect the general election race to be between Susan Crawford and Brad Schimmel. And, you know, I know there's a lot of election fatigue in Wisconsin right now. We just had an excruciating campaign cycle over the last few months. So many millions and perhaps billions of dollars dumped into the state for these campaigns, for president, for Senate, on down the line. But we can't rest, and we have to get right back at it in the coming months here as this campaign ramps up. You know, if you are out there looking for a way to get active, get involved, do something after the crushing defeat at the hands of Donald Trump in the election here, this is a way to do it. This is a way to get involved and get involved in this particular race. You are listening to The Maggie Don Show. I am your guest host this afternoon. My name is Dan Schaefer. We're going to be headed to break right now, but we'll be talking more about some of those headlines after the break. Stick with us. We will be right back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going.
IZERVAY is proven to slow GA progression.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
IZERVAY or Avacin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com.
Usinger's has been making America's finest sausage for over 140 years. Now Usinger's fresh brats are flash frozen and vacuum packed so they stay butcher shop fresh for 6 months in your freezer. And because there's no air in the package, there's no need for chemical preservatives. Usinger's fresh brats are the freshest, most additive-free you will find. Enjoy some this summer with our other Great Link products. Our backpack sausage seals in flavor and leaves out chemicals. Remember, if it's got the elf on the label, you've got quality on your table.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
News from the center, WRCE.
Sunny. Yesterday, my life was filled with rain. Sunny. You smiled at me and really eased the pain. Now the dark days are done.
Good afternoon and welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I am your guest host this afternoon. My name is Dan Schaefer. I am the founder of the Recombobulation Area and the political editor here at Civic Media. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. We are just getting underway on the show talking about some of the big headlines across the state from this week. Right before the break, we were talking about the Democratic Party announcing that they would be endorsing Judge Susan Crawford for the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. So just in case, you know, you were really missing a campaign cycle in Wisconsin, there's an opportunity to get right back at it as the Wisconsin Supreme Court race will ramp up in the coming months. And then, you know, the Democratic Party today really planting their flag on the Susan Crawford campaign there. That general election is on April 1st. So if you want to get involved, if you're feeling, you know, motivated to really get involved at the local level, try to do something to make some change after some perhaps disappointing, discombobulating results in the fall election, there's an opportunity to do it right there, to get involved in that Supreme Court race. The Democratic Party officially endorsing today. So, and you know, we had a nice 2 week break from active campaign season in the state of Wisconsin. So, you know, that we're not going to get much more than that as far as like an off season for politics in this state. That's for sure. As I was checking the news feeds during the break, there was an interesting item that came across from WisPolitics, from J.R. Ross at WisPolitics, writing that the Governor Evers administration today is projecting the state will finish the 23 to 25 budget with a $4 billion surplus. Ross says that is more than the $3.5 billion that had been expected. You know, this has been one of the kind of the biggest items in Wisconsin state politics for the past several years. This massive, massive surplus that, you know, Democrats want to spend it on a whole bunch of different things, make investments in childcare, healthcare, and you know, public education, higher education. All of these different things are going unfunded right now, underfunded, I guess you could say, probably more accurately say. And we're having school districts across the state passed all sorts of different referendums to fund their schools. And meanwhile, at the same time, we have this massive $4 billion now surplus at the state level. So when the legislature gets back into session next year, this is going to be one of the top news items. 2025 will be a budget year for the state of Wisconsin. That is always a contentious battle. You know, it's going to be interesting to see if some of the smaller margins that Republicans have in their majority in the assembly, in the Senate, will create, you know, maybe a little bit more incentive to have a more bipartisan budget in a certain sense, because some of the, you know, incumbent Republicans who might be in tougher districts having to defend those seats under new maps, perhaps they don't want to take a vote on an unpopular policy on something like, oh, I don't know, giving a massive tax break to the wealthy, which is what Robin Voss, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, always seems to want to do with a surplus in the state of Wisconsin. So that will certainly be something to monitor here as well. Going through some other headlines of the week, though, one that I think I don't want to fly under the radar because it, you know, the announcement came kind of late in the day, a couple days ago. But I don't think this should fly under the radar because it is a Wisconsin connection to the Trump cabinet. Now, you know, in the initial announcements of the Trump cabinet, there's a lot of wild nominees being picked by Donald Trump here. You know, RFK to run our Health and Human Services Department. And I think yesterday Dr. Oz was picked as the head of Medicaid and Medicare. So lots of ridiculous picks. And you know, inevitably, there would be a Wisconsin connection at some point to the cabinet. You know, obviously hasn't filled out the full cabinet just yet. But former Congressman Sean Duffy was nominated as Transportation Secretary as Trump rolls out his cabinet. You know, Duffy, a big time Trump backer over the years, was the congressman in the northernmost district in the state of Wisconsin. You know, I took a look at his record in Congress to see if he, you know, really did anything that stood out in this field of kind of transportation and public works. I saw that he had introduced a couple bills, was co-sponsored, a couple dozen other bills in the 8 years that he served in Congress. But this just didn't really seem like a major area of focus for him. But, you know, I think there was also some news stories indicating that Duffy was on Fox News, where he is a host, talking about transportation, talking about a number of issues that have, you know, kind of faced that have, you know, popped up over recent years, things about, you know, kind of canceled airline flights or things like that. So, you know, we have a Wisconsin connection there. It is very unclear what a Sean Duffy USDOT might exactly look like as we look ahead to this. You know, Pete Buttigieg has been the Secretary of the Department of Transportation for some time. This is an issue I've actually reported on quite a bit in and around Milwaukee at the recombobulation area over the years, particularly on the what I consider to be the overly expensive and unnecessary expansion, widening of the I-94 freeway in Milwaukee. And that's something that, you know, Democratic Governor Tony Evers pushed for, and Democratic U.S. Department of Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg approved, even as you had a number of liberal groups kind of lined up against that. So, you know, obviously going to be expecting a very, very different Department of Transportation under Donald Trump and now under Sean Duffy. So, you know, perhaps knowing Wisconsin the way Duffy does, maybe there could be some way to bring back some federal dollars to Wisconsin. I'm going to try to remain optimistic about some of these things, even as it doesn't really seem like the type of pick that would really transform the department the way it needs to. After the break here, we're going to be joined by Natasha Karecki of NBC News to talk about the race for DNC chair. So stick with us on the Maggie Dawn Show. We will be right back. You're my spark of nature's fire. You're my sweet, complete desire. Sunny one, so true. Yes, I love you. Sunny. Yesterday, all my life was filled with rain. Sunny, you smiled at me.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
We all know that turkey is generally the center of attention when it comes to Thanksgiving. But are you open to options? I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. We've got one of those options next.
Farming is full of up and downs, but with the right tools, you can navigate any cycle. Join Compeer Financial's Grain Vantage webinar on December 4th from 9 to noon. Hear from ag industry pros like me, Rob Sharkey, during this free virtual event. Leave with real-world strategies to help you manage risk and explore opportunities in today's market. Visit compeer.com/grainvantage to sign up. The Grain Vantage webinar, helping you take control of your farm's financial future.
What about a Thanksgiving ham? According to economists at CoBank, some consumers have moved away from preparing a whole turkey for Thanksgiving, and ham is capturing a larger part of the protein purchases. Nick Vorpagel has seen it himself. He's a third-generation butcher at Lake Geneva Country Meats.
We have some people that want a boneless ham. We have some people that want a spiral-sliced ham. We have people that are maybe a smaller group or some, you know, part of the group doesn't like it, and they'll get ham steaks, which are just, like, beautiful, easy to cook. And then we have a lot of people that get, like, a pork loin roast, or maybe there's even people that will do smoked jowls, smoked hocks, and make really rich stews or soups that they like to have for Thanksgiving. It's people that still want to have all those flavors around Thanksgiving, your mashed potatoes and gravy, your cranberry sauce, your stuffing, all of those things. And pork goes really well with that if you don't want to do turkey.
There you go. A Thanksgiving option, courtesy of Nick Vorpagel, third-generation butcher at Lake Geneva Country Meats.
As the weather changes, it can start to impact feed quality. Don't let your cows become the victims of the ration roller coaster. Adding Generator Elite to your herd's ration can introduce beneficial microbials that support gut health and help the herd navigate the highs and lows of feed quality, all while using less than an ounce per day per cow. Learn more about Generator Elite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, innovation, that's BioVet.
And the Wisconsin State Fair has begun accepting applications for the 2025 Century and Sesquicentennial Farm and Home Awards. It's a very prestigious honor, going to families that have kept their homes or farms in the family for 100 or 150 years. To qualify for the award, families are required to provide proof of continuous family ownership of a property in the state of Wisconsin for either the last 100 or 150 years. Everyone will be recognized Tuesday, August 5th during the Wisconsin State Fair. That's a quick update on food news for Wednesday. I'm Pam Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Increasing clouds today, breezy and cold with scattered snow showers developing, highs only in the upper 30s. For tonight, scattered snow showers to continue mainly early, remaining blustery with low temperatures in the mid-20s. It's 35 at our studios.
The Todd Alba Show.
If you haven't tried mindfulness techniques before, the idea is to take a minute, focus on the present, not the past, not the future. Be here now. You can do it in your car.
Please not while you're driving.
I would say preferably not driving. Just take a moment and close your eyes and just breathe. Focus like on the breath coming into your body and out.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll be taking a look at issues that will face Wisconsin voters in 2025 and your phone calls as well. Don't miss it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Good afternoon and welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I am not Maggie Dawn. I am Dan Schaefer. I am filling in for Maggie Dawn today. And I thank you so much for joining us. If you want to call into the show, I lost the number there. So, I'll get back to you on how to call into the show, because we have a guest joining us for this half hour here. NBC News national reporter Natasha Kerecki is joining us. Natasha, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
So you have been doing some reporting as of late on the race for Democratic Party chair. So can you tell us a little bit about what you have been reporting this week as Democrats look to pick up the pieces and chart a new course forward?
Well, as we're speaking, three more people may announce. So, I can't promise you I'll be as up to date. It seems like every day a new name sort of surfaces. And, it's usually other people are asking me to do it. It's not that I want to do it. It's other people are urging me to.
It's never on their own volition, right?
Right.
It's never their own ambition to run for these jobs.
Right.
It's always something else. Yeah,
of course. It's been pretty busy this week. We're just, Monday was less than 2 weeks from the election, and we had Martin O'Malley, the former governor of Maryland, former presidential candidate. He was the first to step forward. That's an interesting one. We'll see where that goes. I feel like that was the one name where if I brought it up with people, they'd say, what? I haven't heard from him in a while. So I think he has a lot of work to do in terms of just trying to, schmooze people, talk to people, win them over. Of course, we have Ken Martin, and Ken Martin's a DNC vice chair. He's the head of the Association of Democratic Chairs. Just being the head of that group means he has a lot of people who have already voted for him in the past that could give him a leg up. He, of course, is also the Minnesota Democratic Party chair there. So he is, he's pretty active, and people know him well among the members. And then we have a bunch of other names. Rahm Emanuel is one of them from my great state of Illinois. Former Chicago mayor, former chief of staff to Barack Obama, former congressman, ambassador to Japan. He's looking for something to do now. He's going to be coming back pretty soon to the States. So his name is out there. Lots of controversy around him and excitement, depending on who you talk to. If there's many others who've come up, Chuck Rocha, Latino strategist, and then, of course, Ben Winkler, who, Wisconsin listeners will be the most familiar with. He is the Democratic Party chair in Wisconsin. He's nationally known. He has really good rapport with a lot of donors, a lot of, movers and shakers within the party. So he hasn't put in his bid yet, but I did have a person close to him on Monday. Was that Monday? Yes, I think that was Monday. Say that he was seriously considering it. And from all accounts, he is having conversations, and he is very seriously considering it.
Yeah, that seems to be the line for Mr. Winkler this week. I think after you reported that, a few other places reported that he was seriously considering it. I included that in some of my reporting today as well at the Recombobulation Area. I wrote a piece on Ben Winkler's potential run for DNC chair. I talked to a number of Democratic sources, some Republican sources as well, in and around Wisconsin. I had one person characterize him as a Goldilocks candidate for the position, which I really liked. It could make him just right for the moment. I think, they described him as somebody liked by both centrists and progressives, able to connect with big dollar donors and build a grassroots small dollar fundraising network, work with key outside groups, has experience building a state party. Perhaps this does make him that type of Goldilocks candidate that could please all corners of the big tent party that is the Democratic Party in 2024. But I want to talk to you about some of these other candidates that you've been, reporting on as well before we dive in a little bit further in the Winkler stuff. Martin O'Malley you know, that one that you reported on, that seems like bringing back a character from the first season of the show back in the later seasons. Like, oh, I forgot about that guy.
Right.
You know, obviously the kind of the third fiddle in the 2016 primary between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. And then I think Ken Martin, that one seems a little bit more interesting. Him as the head of the Democratic Farmer Labor Party in Minnesota. And you know, those are the two candidates that have, you know, announced that they are indeed running. There's a number of others, like you mentioned, Rahm Emanuel, Chuck Rocha. I saw today Michigan State Senator Mallory McMorrow Politico reported that she is considering a run as well. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of candidates. And
the only woman, too.
So far, the only woman. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, she's got a rising national profile also from a swing state. A lot of these candidates, you know, have some Midwestern connections, which seems to be perhaps not a coincidence.
Right. And, you know, a lot of this is going to, you know, get back to, you know, the direction of the party. You know, the party is picking up the pieces right now and trying to, you know, they're still counting votes in California. Right, so, right. You know, is there a man, you know, there's like basic questions still that the party's trying to answer. You know, is there a mandate for Trump? How big is the mandate? I'm already seeing messaging against, well, there isn't a mandate because he's technically under 50% now. So, you know, and I think there was a lot of talk right after the election about, you know, the Democrats being too woke and Harris ran too much of a woke campaign, which she absolutely did not. Right. That's how Republicans hit her. And, you know, you can argue, did she push back the right way or not? But that's not, you know, they actually recognized that they needed to stay away from some of that. So I think those are the kinds of issues that are going to bubble up when we get into the nuts and bolts of this race. Like, is the candidate too left? You know, are they too right? And as you said, you know, perhaps Wickler's the Goldilocks there. Others may try to, you know, push back on that one too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm thinking too, it's just, you know, but part of what I'm wondering with this is what do people want? What do Democrats want out of this role in a second Trump term? Do they want somebody who's going to be out there, you know, fighting on the front lines, making a lot of media appearances, pushing back on everything that Trump does? Or do they want somebody who's really going to get into the weeds and rebuild the party in a lot of ways? You know, obviously, I think to a certain extent, it's both, right? But is there that same type of, you know, appetite or desire for among Democrats to have, you know, a really visible person in this role? Do you think that's as important as maybe it was in 2017?
You know, I think they're still sort of figuring that out, but I do feel like just the feedback I get from people is yes, they want somebody who's visible. They want somebody who is going to be a face who can go up against Republicans right now and, you know, be that voice of anti-Trump voice. They obviously want somebody who can fundraise. And those two things kind of go together. You know, if you're high profile, if you're sort of carrying those values that Democrats want, then they're going to tend to give you more money. So, you know, that's where there's a lot of, you know, discussion about Rahm Emanuel. You know, is he that, you know, jerk who some Democrats might want some now, right now. They want that person who's just going to hit Republicans and not hold back. I think that is still, there's a battle within the party still, as I say, over that, because I have spoken to a lot of party chairs who are like, Ken Martin stood by us. There was different resolutions in the past that we wanted, you know, and they say Wickler didn't stand for us the way that he had, you know, and they already had some loyalties developed there. I'm not saying that's across the board, but in just some of my conversations, for instance. So I do think some of it's going to be, they want a high profile person who's just going to barrel through and do things that Democrats perhaps were too scared to do in the past. And then there's going to be some rank and file who want the tried and true, who's going to be with me on the key issues that I care about. So we're going to see some of that playing out, I think.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. I'm your guest host this afternoon. My name is Dan Schaefer. We're joined here by Natasha Kurecki of NBC News, who has been doing some reporting on the next one of the next big decisions for the Democratic Party in this Trump 2.0 era, which is selecting a chair of the DNC. And now we were talking about a number of these candidates. You've been reporting about a number of these candidates. Yeah, I wrote a piece today at the Recombobulation Area about Ben Wickler's potential candidacy. And, you know, the line that really stuck out to me in talking to some Democratic sources was saying that he was a Goldilocks candidate for the position, kind of making him just right for the moment. You know, a number of people talked to me about how people really do have a favorable opinion of Wickler in Wisconsin. They see how he's been able to transform the party. They see how he's been able to deliver, you know, some key victories. You know, obviously with this being kind of a red wave type year, with just about every state shifting in a Republican direction, you know, Wisconsin was a little bit to the left of the rest of the swing states, was the closest, you know, of the seven swing states. Tammy Baldwin hung on for a victory. But is that enough to build a resume on for DNC chair? You know, what are people on the national level? What is the national perspective, you know, of Wickler, of what he's been able to do in this critical swing state in Wisconsin?
I would say for the most part, it's very positive. They know him. They know who he is. They know about the things he's doing. The other thing is I've heard a lot of Republicans, I guess it's more locally, but a lot of Republicans who just respect him. On the flip side of that, you know, there's people who think he's too cozy with donors. There's people who think he's not enough of an outsider that will take Democrats into the direction that they think they need to go into right now, coming off of this election and sort of, you know, looking for the soul of the party. So there's some of that. And, you know, I've heard just like, you know, some grumbling, well, he didn't, but Wisconsin didn't pull it off. And, you know, Andella Barnes lost and, you know, against Ron Johnson, for God's sake, you know, they'll say things like that. Right. You know, there were some prominent losses in addition to the victories, but of course, Wisconsin has, you know, he's been behind the Supreme Court races. He's made those national issues really put it on the national radar. He is out there. He was out on national cable news all throughout the election. So I think people are very familiar with him. But again, one is the rank and file with him, and two, you know, do the more progressives in the party think that he's too aligned with the donor class, the Hollywood class, you know, some of the things people like about him could be a negative to others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. And you know, as I was reporting in my piece as well, there's some decisions to be made for him, you know, at the state level. There's been, you know, chatter over the years that Wickler could be interested in running for statewide office. You know, we don't know if Tony Evers is going to be seeking a third term as governor in 2026. You know, would Wickler be on a short list for a Democratic primary there if he were to, you know, stick around in Wisconsin? That remains to be seen, of course. So there's a lot of different moving parts here to take a look at. Natasha, are you able to stick around with us for one more segment as we continue to talk about Ben Wickler in this race for DNC chair?
Yeah, sure. I can stick around.
All right. Excellent. Well, you are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Network. My name is Dan Schaefer. I am your guest host this afternoon. So if you have the opportunity, go check out the Recombobulation Area today to read my piece on Ben Wickler and follow Natasha's reporting at NBC News on this race for DNC chair. She's going to stick with us for one more segment, and we will be right back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Dom Salvia Show.
State Senator-elect Jody Habesh-Sinikin. What's the best way, do you think, it is to approach a difference in not just opinion, but in what we perceive as facts with those that may not be aware or don't agree with it?
First, having a conversation. Try to get an understanding of what is really bothering them and try to offer solutions at the state level or at the local level where there can be progress.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into like pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay
me. Let's redirect here because this could go bad.
I think it already is.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I am your guest host this afternoon. My name is Dan Schaefer. Thank you so much for joining us. We've been joined for the last segment here and in the next segment by NBC News national reporter Natasha Kurecki. Natasha, thank you again so much for joining us here on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Thanks for having me.
So we've been talking a little bit about the race for DNC party chair. And Natasha's done quite a bit of reporting on some of the candidates who have jumped into the race. And as there is with all things, there is a Wisconsin connection to this race with Democratic State Party Chair Ben Wickler's name being tossed around quite a bit by a number of people. And I wrote a piece on that today at the Recombobulation Area. Go check it out. The headline is Wickler could be the Goldilocks candidate for DNC chair. A number of people in Wisconsin who I've been talking to over the past few days have characterized Wickler as the most effective state party chair in the country. One person even said Wickler could be a national hero in this role if he were to make that run. And he is, as we've both reported, you reported first that he is seriously considering a run for this role. And one of the things that I think is interesting about Wickler as opposed to some of the other candidates and is that, he has built the state party in Wisconsin and going from a state party chair to a national party chair, which I think could be an interesting step. And obviously one of the other candidates, like we talked about in the last segment, is the chair from Minnesota, Ken Martin. And I think, the Republicans have had some success with this as well, having state party chairs make the jump to the national committee chair. We saw that with Reince Priebus here in Wisconsin, going from the state party to the national party. A Republican source pointed out to me that actually just happened with the most recent election, with Michael Whatley going from the North Carolina Republican Party chair to the head of the RNC. So what do you make of that, that as part of this, as, going from a state party level to the national party chair instead of just being, a big name strategist or like you mentioned, Rahm Emanuel is in the mix. So what do you make of that dynamic here?
Yeah, well, that's a really interesting point. And I think what that points to is people who want to see results, like that you have actually done this work. Can you talk to Black voters? Can you speak to, can you go knock on doors and organize? Do you, can you demonstrate you have a record in organizing? And are, you know, are you making headway with different electorates, and particularly in a battleground state? And certainly North Carolina has become one, although Trump did it when more decisively than Democrats had hoped. But Wisconsin, you know, right down the middle.
Always going to be right, 50-50 state. The five of the last seven presidential elections in Wisconsin decided by less than 1%. Don't see that changing anytime soon.
Right. So, you know, to that extent, I would think that Wickler has a very good argument there, that you can argue that, is it a microcosm? Is Wisconsin a microcosm of the country in certain aspects anyway, that it is divided down the middle, that there are rural parts and urban parts, young voters in Dane County and, in Milwaukee, a difficulty with getting Black voters engaged and getting them out. So, you know, in that sense, you know, point to the results. You know, how can you prove that you've done this before? Well, he can prove that he put these, you know, we discussed earlier, put some of these local races, like the Supreme Court races before and now future, on the map. And also, you know, I saw him a lot just in you know, when Harris was touring around Wisconsin and going to those rallies, he would always go up and speak and say, you know, we're only, you know, two votes per precinct or whatever the away from winning back the majority or at least, you know, breaking the Republicans' hold on the state legislature. You know, he made sure to make all those races it makes sense that all of those mattered. And I think in that respect, that's a very good argument for him moving forward, with a party chair who needs to know how to do those things.
Mm-hmm. So as this race takes shape, do you think there are any like potential front runners, top candidates, anything like that as we look ahead? Because I think it was from what I understand, this vote would be happening in mid-February. For this role. So what are you expecting to emerge as top candidates, and what should we be looking for the next couple months here?
Right. Well, I would expect Wickler, if he gets in, that's going to be the razzle dazzle name that gets in. I mean, it is somebody that a lot of people are pulling for. He's well known nationally and he's well liked, as you said. The less sexy name is Ken Martin, because, you know, to the average person, who is Ken Martin? But again, within the DNC, these are people who've known him for years, who trust him, you know, and he's already seems to be getting some traction. Wickler, I think, has to really work hard to have those conversations with people. He can do it. And I have talked to a lot of people who have no doubt that he can, but Martin, you know, is there already. He has earned their trust over the years. So those are two names. If Rahm Emanuel gets in, that's, you know, it's going to be, you know, this major clash
between
progressives and the, you know, pragmatism. He left as Chicago mayor. He did not run a third term because he would have lost a third term. It was right after the Laquan McDonald shooting of a young man by Chicago cops, a video that was suppressed. He was really in the thick of all of that. So, that's just going to create, AOC already called him a disease when Axelrod floated it. So that'll be, you know, fun for us to cover, but a big name for sure.
Well, Natasha, thank you so much for taking some time this afternoon to join us here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Look for her reporting at NBC News on the DNC chair race going forward. Natasha, thank you so much again for joining us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. And we'll be switching gears a little bit, talking a little Milwaukee Bucks after the break. Stick with us on the Maggie Dawn Show.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Dom Selvia.
Next time, Matt Rothschild will join me. We'll talk about the mega cabinet meeting, WWE, baby. And Trump did not have a landslide. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Earl Ingram.
Don's from Milwaukee.
I enjoy your show right now at a time like this. You are great therapy for me. I don't know what I'd do without you guys.
We enjoy you as well. That's the importance of civic media and this platform. And Sandy and I take this seriously. We're going to continue to do whatever it is we can to make sure that people like you continue to get your voices heard.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete civic media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.